when you believe.
Thank you. What we believe is who we become, what we're about, the fabric of our character and soul. You know, we're talking about trusting God or learning to trust. You would think that's easy, but it's not. We get in the way. And then when it doesn't work out, then we want God to jump in there and help us. Psalm 91, 1 and 2 simply says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty, and I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust." Learning to depend is difficult. In today's world, we often say, "Who can we trust?" We tell our children, "Don't trust a stranger." A con man, he uses trust. I learned when I went from Minneapolis, a place of great trust, not, to Los Angeles, a place of lesser trust, yes. I learned some hard lessons, well, one in particular, because I was conned. Talk about becoming a cynic after that. But the story was good, and I was from the Midwest, and I was naive. But I grew up quick. That's a pun. You know what comedians do? They wait for the laugh. No. I lost some money on the deal, and the minister out there even had me write a paper about what I learned. In a good way. It wasn't a great criticism on his part, but he knew that I was a greenhorn, a rookie, and I didn't know how things work and operate out there. You know, we have to learn about trust. We have to learn where to get our information. Google's a good place, we say. Oh, you can believe the internet. I'm waiting for the laughter again. Yes. Sure, we understand that. You know, but when I started my ministry, I left Bible college to go work on the Indian reservation. And, let me tell you a story about the Indian reservation first. This is a story told about a chief of an Indian reservation in a remote village. He was a modern chief, meaning modern times, so he hadn't learned the old ways about telling the weather and what was going to happen. So he wasn't used to watching the sky and being able to interpret those things. But he thought, well, being a practical chief, he told his village there that they should, with winter coming on, they should start collecting wood. So they did. And after they had done this for a while, he decided, you know what, I'll just call the National Weather Service and ask them about the coming winter, which he did. And they said, well, it looks like it's going to be a cold one. So he went back to the tribe and he said, you know, really need to get busy collecting wood. And so they did. And he called again and they said, yes, we're looking at this and we're expecting a very cold winter. So he really got excited about that and he told him, you collect all the wood you can possibly find. And then when he called the National Weather Service, they said, it's going to be an exceedingly cold winter. He said, well, how do you know that anyway? The Indians are collecting firewood like crazy. Where do you get your information? You know, sometimes we just advise one another. Sometimes we let Hollywood tell us what the Bible teaches. And sometimes we pick up these different beliefs or attachments to our beliefs, and we never really check out our scriptures in a rock-solid way to find out what does God really say. Well, when I left on the Indian reservation, I was working with a minister up there, and I had gone from Bible college because I wanted to learn under a minister, and I thought I could be tutored and just some things that you don't quite pick up in Bible college can certainly be picked up firsthand. And we did that for about 18 months. And this minister just didn't seem to want to communicate. He would write me letters, though we lived right up the street from the church, for we were living in the church basement. And finally, I got a letter from him that said, you know, in so many words, I'm disappointed in you. And if you're not going to do such and such and such and such, and he gave me a work list, which included how many hours in prayer are you spending today? I want you to write that down. And how many hours you're working in the Lord, and how many hours you're reading your Bible. And it was quite a recipe of, and then you turn that in, and after I've reviewed that, I'll decide whether to pay you or not. Now, what do you think that does to, what was I, 19? 20? Not as old as I am now. I've learned a few things. But you know, in so many words, I was fired. Now, that can either greatly discourage you, or that can make you more determined. Guess which way my wife and I went? Right. Trust the Lord. Opened another door, moved to Minneapolis, started to work in our living room with four people, and spent 24 years there and developing it into a congregation and so forth. But if we let people be our audience, if we let people be our source of information, how that can greatly affect how our self-esteem, how we view life, and what we're about. We need to get our information from God. We need to let God tell us, you are worthy. You are my child. You are my son. I have a will for you. I have information from you for you. I will be your comforter. I will be your joy. I will be your peace. Let God be who God really wants to be in your life. But God knows we have a trouble with trusting. And our world is such that it lends itself for us not trusting. You know, Abraham, when he was called, we won't go there in Hebrews 11, but in Hebrews 11, the writer tells us that when Abraham was called to leave his country, he went out not knowing where he was going, but he trusted God. And having even arrived there, he didn't find much, but the latter part of that area in Hebrews 11 says that he was looking past all of that to a city whose foundations were from God. In other words, he could see past the temporary. He could see past what was right in front of him. He could see more than what he was experiencing. He could see that God was out there, and God has something very, very great for me, and I'm going to keep traveling in that direction no matter what anyone says, because I'm listening to God. Listen to your Father in heaven. Let Him be the director of your path. We have trouble with trusting. The Israelites were that way. It was very evident when God brought them out under Moses. And remember, they crossed the Red Sea and they went out into the desert, marching all these people. And I'm sure a little bit of excitement for what was happening. And then they saw that God took care of Pharaoh and his army in a way that would just be an eye-opener. And yet it wasn't but a short time. And they were saying, you know what? I'm hungry. You brought us out here to die with no food. And God provided manna. And he said, well, I'm thirsty. I don't see any lakes around here. There's no water out in the wilderness. God says, there's water right next to you if I make it. There's water anywhere I want it to be. He can open up a rock and bring out all the water that you need. He doesn't lack for resources. He just needs people who will trust him. So it was that the Israelites, well, let's read that. I do want to touch that. That's Psalm 78. I have to help those in the back. Because they say, where are you, Art? I give them notes and then I take off. This is verse 1. Let's read this quickly. I'm going to get this in. I cried out to God for help. Did I say 70? 78. I'm sorry. Let's go to 70. I'll get 77 in a minute. 78. Let's start. I'm going to start with verse 9, which isn't up there. So listen. You'll pick me up in 12. The men of Ephraim, though they armed with bows, turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant. They refused to live by his law. They forgot what he had done and the wonders he had shown them. He did miracles in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt and the region of Zoan. He divided the sea and led them through. He made the water stand firm like a wall. He guided them with a cloud by day and with a light from the fire all night. He split the rocks in the desert and gave them water as abundant as the seas. He brought streams out of a rocky crag and he made water flow like rivers. But that things change. They continued to sin. They continued to sin against him, rebelling in the desert against the Most High. They willfully put God to the test by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, can God spread a table in the desert? When he struck the rock, water gushed out, streams flowed abundantly. But can he also give us food? Can he supply meat for his people? When the Lord heard them, he was very angry. His fire broke out against Jacob, and his wrath rose against Israel, for they did not believe in God. And here it comes, ready? Or trust in his deliverance. God takes note that when we're up in hard times, where are we looking? Where are we finding our resources? Is God the final answer or the first answer? Is he back there in the back, and when everything else is done, we'll finally turn to him? Or is he the first one we turn to? God said, they did not believe and they didn't trust in my deliverance. God gave an oath. He gave an oath in Hebrews 6. For those who have trouble trusting, that would be all of us. So the oath is very interesting. And I've said this before. I had trouble with this in Hebrews when I took Hebrews. I remember a question on a test if I miss it. This is one that I didn't understand. It's in Hebrews 6. Men swear, verse 16, men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. I put my hand on the Bible and I say, yes, you can. You know, the old days you shook their hand and that was good enough. You gave your word was good enough. Now, Judge Judy says you better get it signed in blood and a picture and a few other things, and even that might be questionable. But in those days, an oath was put an end to all arguments because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. That would be you and me. He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. And we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. God confirmed it with an oath. Well, just for God to speak has to be truth. And yet God takes an oath in his own name. A double thing here that says, if there's nothing else out there true, this is doubly true, and you have all the promises of God, an anchor, your hope is secure. Trust him. You can trust God. You know why? Because he's worthy of your trust. James Mishier, let's go to Psalms 9. I want to read that a little bit. James Mishier wrote a book. It was called The Source. He's written many books. He wrote all those books with states on them. Texas, you know, Arizona, the name of the book was, anyway, Mishier. We're in chapter 9 of Psalms. Mishier wrote a book called The Source. In that, he describes a man whose name was Urbale. And Urbale lived in a small town with his wife, and the local deities there was a god of death and a god of fertility. To the god of death, he willingly offered his child as a sacrifice. The god of fertility, he was excited when he got the call that it was his turn to visit the prostitutes downtown. His wife made this statement, and it's in the book. If he had different gods, he would have been a different man. Ponder that just a bit. Whoever God is in your life goes a long way to determine who you are, what you're about, your approach to life, your response to life. A lot is said by what you believe about God. And in this case, you know, the writer says if he had a different God, he'd be a different man. We believe in what God says. We believe in who God says he is. This is the basis of real trust. Get to know your Lord. Get to know his word. Get to know his will. Get to know his promises. And even his warnings. For they're for your good and mine. But in all of that, we want God to be directly in our lives, front and center. Learning to trust God. Israel never learned that. And that whole generation eventually died in the wilderness because of unbelief. It wasn't that they didn't know, they wouldn't trust. It wasn't they didn't have information, but they weren't willing to make that the mainstay and the foundation of who they are and their behavior. It ought to be for every child of God. We need to learn to listen to God. Psalms 9. I'm sorry, I was going to read that. So let me read that. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name, and that name means all the characteristics of God, all the attributes of God, who he is, not just, well, his name is such and such, but all that he's about. Those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Isn't that beautiful? You think Jesus didn't say the same thing? Oh, yeah, he did. I'm with you all the way. If we have this, then why can we not be winners? Why cannot we be victorious? Why can't we be people of great joy If there's ever joy in this world, it's right here in this building. If not, why not? It all has to do with what you believe about God. God's worthy of all of this. Now back to Psalm 77. Time's running out. I got to talk faster. Here we go. I cried out to God for help. Verse 1. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out my untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days and the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused, and my spirit inquired, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Does this sound like depression in any way or form? Yeah, kind of. Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. Here it comes. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. We have a God that's worthy of our trust. And it is that God who blesses us when we trust him. I read about a Canadian pastor. He lived in a little town in Canada. And the town was about to widen the streets. Or in order to widen the streets, they would have to remove several trees. That wasn't very popular. But as the foreman and the workmen showed up to remove these trees, it was noted. There was Miss Robin sitting in a nest. And they thought, okay, we can't disturb that tree. We got to let Mother Robin do her thing. And we'll have to wait. So they came back later. And of course, here were all these little wide-mouthed little robins squealing in the nest. And they thought, well, we can't bother the tree yet. So they came back later, and obviously the nest was empty, and everybody was on their way, and all things were equal, and they said, okay, we'll cut down the tree. But let's go get that nest out of the tree. And when they did, of course, it was full of mud and leaves and all the things that a robin uses to make a nest. But in the bottom of the nest was a little piece of paper. Kind of, it fell out and swirled down to the ground, and they picked it up. And it was a soiled little white Sunday school card that said, we trust in the Lord our God. If the robins do, why not us? Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Lord, you're so good to us. Lord, if there's anyone we need to put our trust in, is in you. We know that trust means reliance and leaning hard and just putting our full weight and just throwing ourselves into your arms, knowing you're there to catch us and to bless us, and to protect us, and to lead us. Thank you, Lord, for this morning together. Thank you for your goodness and love. Thank you for the great family of God. May we be a blessing to one another, even as you bless us. And we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you'd like to be standing and sing their closing song with us, if there's any needs that you have, please feel free to come forward during the singing or grab anybody up afterwards.